Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers! Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondo.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Gordon again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
An unrivaled fan base. The best college sports town in the world. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Welcome in hour number two of the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show live from Cooley's in Madison. Alongside Riley Yount, Corey Sparks here with you on 100.5 ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison Milwaukee YouTube channels, as well as the ESPN Wisconsin app. If you've been hanging out with us since the beginning or just joined a moment ago, thank you so much for doing so. Our Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line, Liss is More, is 844-770-3776. Looking ahead at the second hour, we've got Red Hot Ice Cold coming up in just a moment. We'll go over our drive of the game brought to you by our friends at Chalmers Jewelers, Metro Ford of Madison College Football Scoreboard Update. We do have some helmet stickers to hand out. Woo. And then we will look ahead to the next game. It's going to be the last home game of the season against Illinois. Still don't have a kickoff time on that, but we'll preview it nonetheless.
Hopefully Monday. Hopefully Monday we find out. I mean, at this point, team's going to find out Friday night.
Yeah.
It's like, hope it's not an 11 a.m. kick.
The schedulers were on a bye week this week, apparently.
It's, the way they've done scheduling this year has been so frustrating, and I think that's because of the expanded Big Ten, and you have these West Coast teams, and like they let the TV networks pick what matchup they want,
sure.
And I'm sure whichever one has first dibs kind of changes every week. It's been nauseating.
A lot of moving parts.
Yes.
We are here with you in the Starion Bank broadcast booth. Experience a banking relationship where your goals are their priority. As a community bank with a commitment to Dane County, Starion Bank redefines local banking in the Madison area. Visit one of their convenient branches in Middleton, Sun Prairie, or Monona today, or online at StarionBank.com. It is time for Red Hot Ice Cold.
Who was scorching?
Going to keep it himself, another rushing touchdown for Wisconsin. Pouring it on in Piscataway.
Who froze up?
Locked from his end zone. It's picked off! Jalen Reed! Touchdown! Huge play for the Penn State defense!
It's time to play Red Hot, Ice Cold on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
He's got a fever.
All right, I'll kick us off here because, Riley, you were rocking a Rocky IV analogy in the pregame show with Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, and Brad Norman, and it spanned into your bumpers, which I absolutely loved. You were quoting it. Great movie, great series, obviously, right? So I'll build off that as we get into the second hour of the show. You do martial arts, right, Riley?
Yes, yes. I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, and I'm currently a three-stripe blue belt. I go to practice three times a week. I love it. It's awesome. Excited for UFC 322 tonight.
There we go.
Fireworks between Jack De La Maddalena taking on Islam Makhachev.
So I will leave you alone starting at 7 o'clock, and I'll never mess with you since you're practicing that three times a week. But you called this Rocky IV, so I'll run with the analogy here. On offense, it's strictly hand-to-hand combat. You can't win with just a jab, right?
And not usually.
Throughout the last few games, and again, Jeff Grimes hasn't had a cohesive offensive unit to work with, Wisconsin's offense has only had a jab, 3-4-yard runs, stretch right, stretch left. The jab is good for keeping the other fighter at bay, but its real job is to set up your power shots, right? Your overhand, your hook, your uppercut, your cross. And Wisconsin had not really been using those until this week. We saw the haymaker. We had a pretty nice haymaker. It got everybody jumping up and down like a bunch of happy idiots in the studio.
Yes, it did.
And that is because Jeff Grimes has been using those jabs effectively. It wasn't pretty at first, but those 3-4-yard runs turns to games of 5, 6, 7, 8. You get Gideon Atuka once in a while breaking free before the injury for 10-plus-yard runs. All of a sudden, those DBs start getting up. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you expect is good old Lance Mason leaking out the backside, getting wide open. So, Jeff Grimes, you're red hot for calling a good game. I know it was only 7 points, but considering the cards he's been dealt, I thought he threw the jab effectively enough to land that overhand right or left, depending on you know,
yeah,
Orthodox
great
southpaw.
Analogy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if Jeff Grimes is a lefty or righty. Yeah. Even you southpaw and Orthodox. Mm. Nice. Someone's a little mixed martial arts or boxing fan.
Yeah, got some sneaky nuggets in there.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, to continue with the Rocky IV analogy, I was really hoping that today the Badgers would be Rocky Balboa. Mm-hmm. And you saw last week, Penn State almost set up like the first half of the fight where Rocky lands the big punch. It's like, he bleeds. He bleeds, Rock. He's a man. He's not a machine, Rock. He's a man. He's barking at Duke's barking at him in the corner. And then you have Drago on the other side saying, he's not human. He's like piece of iron. And today, the first half, it was like the climax of the fight where they're just wailing back and forth. No defense, except this time it was really the defense is wailing back and forth, just swanging and banging. And I was hoping that in the second half they could hang around long enough for Balboa to deliver the decisive, I think it was a right hook, I can't remember, that sends Drago flying out of the ring. Knockout. The Cold War is over. Democracy is saved. Rocky is on top of the world. I was hoping we got to see that. Unfortunately, though, in the third quarter, Indiana was Drago and we were Apollo Creed. They knocked us out cold. Thankfully, the Badgers and Fickell didn't throw in the towel like Rocky should have with Apollo, but we died in the third quarter. The Badgers died in the third quarter, and that was the game, unfortunately. But if you want to look red hot, someone who is like an Ivan Drago on this Badgers defense, it's still Mason Posa, man. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely sensational. He led the team in tackles, 5 of them solo, 12 total. He had a sack, a TFL. Daryl Peterson's right up there, too. He had a great game, 2.5 sacks. He was causing a ruckus in that backfield, making Mendoza hurt. Catalano had a solid game. Deonte Hill had a great game as well. Coop almost knocked Mendoza out of the game.
He did.
Drilled him hard.
Talk about those hard hits. A lot of them were from 44 today.
Yeah, but Mason Posa and the defense as a whole still red hot, in my opinion.
And for ice cold, I've used this card a couple of times. Injuries. Gideon Atuka going down hurt this team very badly. Not only the nature of the injury, anytime you need a guy who's temporarily immobilized to get put off the field, carted off the field.
Brutal.
That's not a great sign. But the way that Gideon Atuka runs, I think it's a microcosm of this football team, Riley. He is met by contact, by adversity early, and he has to power through and fight for every single yard. Wisconsin got hit in the mouth the first 7-8 weeks of the season, and they've really responded the last couple of weeks, and it's mostly been on his back. They've been a run-oriented football team, and he's been their lead rusher. So losing that possibly for the end of the season, again, we know practically nothing yet since it just happened, that really hurts. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what Grimes is going to do with yet another rendition of this offense against Illinois, which is a headache in its own right. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, I hope Gideon's all right, and I hope he's a part of this football team in 2026.
Yes, so do I. Prayers up for Gideon Atuka, that is for sure. And Brett Roll in the ESPN Madison YouTube chat, thank you for our food here
awesome
at Pooley's. Gideon did get knocked out like Apollo. Unfortunately, he did.
Yeah.
And again, hopefully he's okay. Michael Glenn also saying you can win with just a jab. Yes, if you're talking strictly boxing.
If you want to win by points and be super conservative and have the best defense
but
ever,
that's so boring.
Yeah.
Like the way Floyd Mayweather Jr., I hate watching his fights.
Yep.
He's so frustrating.
You're not knocking anybody
jab,
out with a jab.
Jab, jab. Exactly. Yep. You're not. Yes.
I should have said that.
Yep. Right. And it's just boring. Like, if you win with jabs, it's boring, which we would take at this point.
Yeah,
we did last week.
I'll take some jab wins.
We did that last week, but it was nice to see a haymaker, as you were saying. Ice cold for me. I also had running back health written down as a potential. But I'm gonna go with Carter Smith second half. He made freshman mistakes. He had a great first half, was very happy with what I saw. This doesn't negate the growth we saw from the youngster, but second half was just not optimal. You have one of Grimes' few bad play calls, in my opinion, on a 3rd-and-9 QB keeper. Gets stripped, loses the football. You just can't have that if you want to remain in the football game. And really, the knockout blow for Indiana, that interception, once he threw that, it was over. So Carter Smith, overall, a solid performance. We saw steps forward, but he's still a freshman quarterback, and he made some big critical mistakes in the second half.
Bright side, at least, and very good ice cold there, because I thought going into the second half, this kid might throw for 200 yards after throwing for 8 the last week. He's going to have a lot more to dissect on film this week, not only because he played the full game,
yes,
but he completed a handful of passes. They were a little more pass-oriented today. You could tell Grimes had more drawn up for him. That Lance Mason play is probably one they look at and just laugh at and go, that was awesome.
Yep.
But he was able to split through the zone a couple of times. He had some nice recognitions on his second, his third progression. He was rolling out to his left, and of course Jeff Levering came in hot with the baseball analogy, saying he had that three-quarter arm slot like a shortstop. Those are pluses, and then the second half is going to be, yeah, Carter, we can't do that again. The throw over to Tretch Kekahuna, you're a freshman, you're going to get the pass. But that's the full reason I'm glad he's playing right now. Again, he's not burning a year of eligibility. This is all free experience, I think. Mm-hmm. We can all agree on that. So he'll be able to look at what not to do, what to do, and take some of those takeaways into the game against Illinois and the Fighting Brett Bielemas. With Celebrations Entertainment, planning events has never been easier. They have complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more fun. Visit CelebrationsEntertainment.com to get started today. Celebrations Entertainment, fun, memorable events. When we come back, Drive of the Game Time, brought to you by our friends at Chalmers Jewelers. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Hung in there, and then, what, Riley fights for 12 rounds of unboxing? Yep. 12, 16, 12? 12. 12.
Yeah, 12 if we're talking boxing. This wasn't a championship fight, so this would be 3 rounds in MMA.
Okay. Well, we made it through, like, the first round and a half, and we felt pretty good. It's just MMA.
Yep.
And then it kind of got out of hand.
Then we got rocked, and it was over. It was over from there.
Yeah, it was over. All right. Well, ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented to you by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
That's crush a Coors Light. Going to have to do that tonight.
2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. There were not a whole lot of options, but the one option that we do have for Drive of the Game, a pretty good one. We'll get to that now.
It's the Drive of the Game.
He's got the corner, and the Badgers touchdown answers quickly.
On ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
The Badgers punctuating and pulling away.
The Drive of the Game is brought to you by Chalmers Jewelers, helping guys score for more than 25 years.
Boy, I wonder.
It's a really hard choice today.
The committee had to really look at this one and sit down and deliberate, huh?
Yeah, we were struggling. We were really struggling, but obviously 8 plays, 79 yards, ends on the touchdown throw to Lance Mason on 4th and 1. Stellar play call from Jeff Grimes, and, excuse me, quick burp there. It was executed well.
It was.
Which we have not seen a lot of great execution so far this year from the Wisconsin Badgers offense. And that play, oh, was beautiful. Picture perfect. That was fantastic. I'd actually argue that the first drive was better.
Yeah.
Just by, like, in a vacuum, the first drive, 13 plays, they only made it 48 yards, but took almost 8 minutes off the clock.
You chew the clock.
If they were able to punch that in or even kick a field goal, like, I think you can make a case that's the drive of the game, because they come out, established themselves, and they looked really good. They moved the football. They converted third downs. But when you got nothing to show for it, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that was one where you come away from it, you're not happy that Vacos missed another kick, but you go, well, there's 8 minutes that Indiana will never have a chance to score in again. And that's important, because now the pressure's on them. They're going, all right, we probably expected this. 3-6 football team, they're going to try and shrink the game. And even though that drive didn't end in points, I would say that's a good second place option here if we're doing that. They did chew off enough clock for Indiana to go, all right, we're only going to get so many cracks at it here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 8 plays, 79 yards. So Jesse Nelson's about 15 feet in front of us here. He's on the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day pregame show with Adam Ritz, Brad Nortman, and yourself, Riley. He asked a really good question like 10 seconds after that play. When is the last time an offensive play for Wisconsin made you feel like that?
Like, yeah, and it took us a while to come up with an answer.
It's been a bit.
Yeah, I think we ultimately settled on Braden Locke's pass to Vinny Anthony against USC last year, at the beginning of last year. I think that was like week four against the Trojans.
October.
Man, yeah, it was a long time since we've had an offensive play get us out of our seats. And this one was still significantly bigger than that Vinny Anthony play, but it elicited the same feelings like, oh, we're here. let's go. Let's do it. Let's show out today. Let's put some pressure on him. And we were all fired up. We were hooting and hollering.
We're high-fiving.
In the Everlight Solar Studios. Man, did it feel like we had a shot at that point. And they did. They did have a shot, obviously, third quarter to forget. But at that point in time, whew. They were right there with the Hoosiers.
It felt like we were at a game. That was fun. We got up out of our seats, jumping around, jubilation, happy with it. And then, the third quarter happened. But that is your drive of the game, brought to you by our friends over at Chalmers Jewelers. Carter Smith to Lance Mason, what we hope to be the first of many passing touchdowns for the true freshman quarterback, the four-star out of Florida, who originally was committed to Michigan. I was scoreboard watching here. Michigan almost blew it away.
Man, they needed a walk-off field goal to beat
Wrigley.
Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Well, playoff hopes for the Big Ten were in big danger today. Michigan, they keep theirs alive. USC currently trailing Iowa 7-0. Their hope, the loser of this game, their playoff hopes are done. Iowa, I guess, technically at 6-3 is still on the fringe.
They're going to need some help.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. So the Big Ten, it might be Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon as the representatives this year.
And I think you could even say that might have been a de facto getting game last week between Iowa and Oregon. Because I bet there's a real world if Iowa runs the table, goes 10-2, and has a couple of ranked wins under their belt, they're in. Right?
If they had beaten Oregon and beat USC today, you can't keep a 10-2 Iowa team out.
Right. Yeah.
So, and they're on the drive inside the 10-yard line right now. Gronowski trying to find the end zone. They won't get it there. Can't do play-by-play right now on the radio. So I was trying to resist the urge. But Iowa within striking distance right now. They could go up two scores on the Trojans right now. And, big picture. SEC survives. Texas A&M came storming back. They were down 30-3. And just marched all the way back, four unanswered touchdowns to beat South Kakalaki, the Gamecocks. And, I mean, Wisconsin for a half had Indiana sweating. There were some fun games today throughout college football. As Oklahoma goes up 10-0 on Alabama, it's a fun day. It's a fun day in college football despite the Badgers' loss.
Pretty good slate tonight. It's very hard not to scoreboard watch because there's so many different options. There's a lot of screens here at Pooley's in
Pooley's
Madison.
Makes it easy.
This is an awesome, awesome place. You got the Big Ten flags up and down. We've already talked about it, but it's if you like sports memorabilia, this is your dream house here. Come here.
And you could spend hours just walking around and looking at everything and examining the pieces
they have.
This is sick. You can get a glimpse. It's hard to tell, but like behind me and next to Corey to the right, you can see these pictures and these old banners up. See the pennant, or you used to be able to see the pennant behind us. Wisconsin pennant. It is sick.
There have been some pretty cool celebrities here that have signed their own portraits and hung them up on the wall. I would go into the hundreds here. There's it's plentiful. 844-770-3776.
You got Bo Schembechler right there.
Wow.
Two Pooleys. The legendary Michigan head coach, two Pooley.
That's pretty
how
sick.
Do they do this? I don't know. It's insane. This is a legendary spot.
They're good at recruiting here, or at least this is just a place that you can't miss.
Even
you
out of state? They're good at out of state recruiting here. Plenty of in state. That's the base, obviously. That's the foundation.
But they would do well in the NIL era.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, good stuff. Dip into the portal.
Pooleys could adapt to this wild climate, the Wild West. Of college football very well.
good modern coaching here.
Yes.
I like it. Absolutely. Great food as well, and we appreciate them having us. Riley and I were kind of hinting at it, poking around, looking at the different games that we can see on the screens here. When we come back, our amazing producer, Owen Dimfel, will do just that in a more official manner. We have our Metro Ford of Madison College football scoreboard update. Coming up next, this is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
bet they did.
There's a pretty good argument that 11 of the last 12 quarters have went very well for Luke Fickell's squad, but the Badgers do fall to 3-7. They are not bowl eligible for the second year in a row after rattling off a streak that was spanning over north of two decades.
Yep.
We will get to that in a moment, but first, Metro Ford of Madison is Madison's trusted Ford dealer. Whether you need to purchase, finance, or service a new or pre-owned Ford, Metro Ford is the place to go. Visit Metro Ford of Madison on the east side today, or go to their website, metrofordofmadison.com, to see this month's specials and browse their amazing inventory. It's time to look around college football with a scoreboard update from our very own Owen Dimple.
Hey guys, yeah, busy day like you hinted at it earlier in the show. Some good top 25 matchups, but we're going to stick it right here with the Big Ten.
From L.A. to Piscataway, this is your college football scoreboard update, driven by Metro Ford of Madison.
So like I said, yeah, keeping it with the Big Ten, started with the Badgers losing a tough 131-7. Right now, Iowa up 7-0 at USC. Very good game, a top 25 matchup between two teams. Looking, hoping, maybe they can sneak in as an at-large for the college football playoff. But as it stands right now, 7-0 Iowa. Rainy game to keep in mind as well. Could favor the Hawkeyes. You mentioned earlier, Michigan survived at Wrigley Field against Northwestern. Yes, you heard that right. A football game at Wrigley Field, 24-22 Wolverines. Also going on in the Big Ten right now, Penn State, Michigan State notched up 7 apiece. And Maryland leading 3-0 over Illinois. Later to come tonight, we have Purdue at Washington out west. That game kicks off at 6 o'clock on FS1. And then UCLA taking on top-ranked Ohio State at 6:30. You can find that on NBC. Other top 25 scores. Number 3, Texas A&M survived against South Carolina. It was looking very scary there for a moment for the Aggies. They were down 30-3. Rallied back with 28 unanswered. They win 31-30.
Metro Ford of Madison, Madison's trusted Ford dealership. Learn more at metrofordofmadison.com.
Very nicely done, Owen. Yeah, looking around college football and looking around the Big Ten right now, Michigan did get a little scare. I thought there was no way on earth, more so referring to the top 25 now, that Texas A&M would come back and win. I'm like, that's the number 3 team in the country. They'll put up a fight. We'll get a good 4 quarters out of it. It'll be a game.
Yeah, but man, that's impressive.
We blinked. I looked over your shoulder, and I was like, oh, the Aggies won. Okay.
Yep. that was a beatdown of epic proportions by the Gamecocks in the first half. And, man, oh, man, think of how their fans are feeling right now. We were satisfied. We were happy with that first half.
Yep.
And hoping that we could keep it going into the second. And, you know, maybe I was believing that we could get the job done, that we could win, hence my disappointment. And I think a lot of fans feel similarly, like happy with the effort, but disappointed because it felt like for a moment you could knock off the number 2 team in the country. Man, oh, man, if you're South Carolina, they've had a rough season. Oh. They've fallen way below expectations this year.
They're 3-7 now, too.
Exactly. And they were demolishing Texas A&M. It was not close. And then they choked that lead away. All they had to do was kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And they win the game. And
oh, that's tough.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love to. I might have to listen to one of their post-game shows once we wrap up here. Because I'm sure that's some pretty solid content. Very entertaining stuff.
Misery loves company.
Down in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, those poor fans down there getting shut out in the second half after putting up a 30-piece on a top 3 team. In the country. Well, Riley, you and I were talking over the break, right before we hit the Metro Ford of Madison college football scoreboard update. Start doing the math, right? There's not a whole lot of it. Wisconsin can't make a bowl game anymore unless they get one of those offers.
If they're not enough 6-6 teams. And
they turned it down last year. They're like, no, we're good.
Well, they didn't have the academics. Cincinnati had better academics, and I forgot, there's one other team ahead of Wisconsin.
Okay, so there's qualifications
that
they go to.
And it goes to academic progress rate, APR.
Okay.
And Cincinnati was number 1. I think they got in. And I think there was one other team ahead of Wisconsin that didn't even get down to number 2.
Sure.
So if there aren't enough 6-6 teams,
maybe
theoretically, if they beat Illinois and Minnesota, Wisconsin could go bowling. But you can't bank on it.
Hit the books.
No, fair enough. Hopefully they're smart.
Do really well in those midterms and finals. Anyway, so It got us thinking, though. Best case scenario at this point, Wisconsin beats Illinois, Wisconsin beats Minnesota. That would be a hell of a way to end the season. Mm-hmm. And you're 5-7 again. If Wisconsin wins the last two games, and we can open this up 844-770-3776 to the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line as well. If Wisconsin wins the last two games and finishes this year out at 5-7, are you satisfied with where the program is headed, at least?
I am satisfied with where the program is heading. I am optimistic for the future. Am I satisfied with this season? Do I think it was a successful season? No, not even close. If you were the Wisconsin Badgers, you cannot be happy. You cannot sit on your laurels after a 5-7 season and be content with that. It's still not acceptable.
Yep.
However, if they win these next two games, especially if they go out and win them convincingly, then I think you can have some real hope and some real optimism for the future, especially with how talented these young freshman players are in Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, Carter Smith, Eugene Hilton, Gideon Atuka. You can feel really good about where they're heading. This isn't last year's team where they just limped to the finish line. They're 5-2. 5-2, and they lose their last five games. This is not at all how last season ended. Actually, this is all contingent on them winning their last two games.
Right.
It's not the same vibe heading into the offseason at all. You know for a fact Fickell's going to be here next year. You don't have to worry about the hot seat. You don't have to give any concern to that. You have to take that momentum, take that growth, and build upon it in the offseason. We talked about it in the pregame show. You have only one transfer portal now.
Yep.
You have to hit that hard. Maybe you go after a quarterback again and let Carter Smith develop. Mm-hmm. If not, I'd still go out and get a backup.
Yeah.
Like, I'd still hit the portal for a QB because right now you have Danny O'Neill, not really confident in him. You have Carter Smith. I think he has shown enough flashes and moxie and leadership capabilities where you can build on him, but maybe he needs another year to simmer a little bit, to marinate, if you will. Go after maybe some receivers because Vinny Anthony's going to be gone. Like, you have to hit the portal hard.
Yep.
You will. And you have one, I think, early signing periods late December.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take advantage of that. But then, if you do that, if the Badgers are successful there, if the Badgers have a good portal, good early signing day period, national signing period, I forget exactly what it's called. If Fickell does well there, I think everyone's feeling pretty happy. If you keep the guys you need to keep moving forward, you're feeling good. You are feeling very good heading into next year with a much, much more manageable schedule. And then next year is truly a make or break season for the Badgers.
Yeah, very well put. Jim Rutledge, who hosts the Jump Around with Pablo Iglesias and yourself, Riley Auk, every Thursday on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. He said something at the start of the season that I wholeheartedly agreed with. And I think that thought has evolved. And he said this: going into the season, if you are looking for clarity, there are three outcomes. The Badgers win four less games, you're likely seeing some people on their way out the door. Mm-hmm. The Badgers win six, seven, or more games, you're probably giving the vote of confidence, which we ended up seeing already, towards the staff, and you get that continuity going into 2026, a much more gettable schedule, which we'll get to in a moment. He said if you win five games, there could be a lot up in the air and you might not get the clarity. Now, Chris McIntosh stepped forward a couple of weeks ago and literally said, want clarity, here it is.
Here is the clarity.
Here's the clarity. Luke Fickell's our guy in 2026. But if the Badgers go 5-7 in this nature, that means beating Illinois, who they're kind of in a free fall right now, and Minnesota, your ultimate rival.
Yes.
And you've now probably played four or five pretty good games in a row. Today I'm going to put below average, but not by much, that you could salvage a lot out of today. And again, we know what Wisconsin's identity is now. A lot is unfolded, though. You've got this team playing three pretty good games in a row compared to the standard that we gave them. You have a freshman core in Posa, Catalano, Smith, maybe Atuka as well. Again, hopefully he comes back fully healthy and everything goes well there. And you did get the vote of confidence, so you know who your leader is. So in terms of stripping something down to the studs, it could be a lot worse. You could not know who you are. You could not know who's coming back next year. And you could not know who's leading the football team out there. All those things are not true. Wisconsin has all those things. And you look at their schedule next year. Their Big Ten opponents are Michigan State, Rutgers, obviously Minnesota and Iowa, USC, Maryland, Penn State, no more James Franklin, and they are no longer ranked, Purdue and UCLA. Yeah. I don't want to look too far ahead, Riley, but if we bring back this core and this team continues to progress and they go 2-0 to finish the season 5-7, I'm liking what I see next year.
Yeah, I'm thinking next year, again, this is no, actually, I'm not even going to make a contingent on how they end this season. Next year, with that schedule, eight wins should be the baseline. Like, you should be able to manage 8 wins out of that schedule, get to a respectable bowl game, at least with what you hope to see from Fickell. He came in talking championships. And what are we seeing that? No. Mm-hmm. But at the bare minimum, Chris McIntosh said this in one of his really boring political statements, that next year they need to compete with the Big Ten.
Yep.
And they need to compete with at least the second tier of the Big Ten next season. They cannot be where they are right now. And if we don't, man, if they don't continue to grow next year, then the clarity will be so much clearer. Fickell will be gone. And man, oh man, will this, and McIntosh is probably gone too.
Yep.
And those will be some massive, massive mistakes. And then Wisconsin's in full rebuild mode if they don't. But if Fickell does, and I'm one of the few potentially that's confident that Fickell will continue to build what he has started this season. This team will continue to grow, and they will be successful next year. If he gets at least 8 wins, if he gets 9 or 10,
sign me
then,
up. Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go. We got a young group, we've been saying it all show, a young core. Then they're going to be juniors in 2027.
Ooh, yeah.
And I don't know what the schedule looks like exactly. I know they start in Ireland against Pitt, which will be fun.
Yep.
But outside of that, then this team should be a problem for everyone else in the Big Ten, and we should be a lot closer to where we want to be as Wisconsin Badgers.
And in that scenario, when it comes to the NIL era and the transfer portal, now you have a much more appealing destination than Wisconsin has been
and
the
Fickell,
last couple
yeah,
years.
Already a good recruiter. He's gotten a lot of solid young talent on this team. It makes it a lot easier sell. And that's the thing. The Badgers have been in the mix for a lot of high-end talent. I think 1 5-star, but even a lot of 4-star guys, and then some higher-end 3-star guys where they're just missing out, especially those 4-star guys where they've just missed them.
Yep.
Just missed them. They're down to the final two, final three, and they go somewhere else. You can start flipping those when you start winning.
Yep.
And it makes it that much more attractive, and Camp Randall's full again, and we're closer to where we want to be as a program.
Yeah, 8-4 would solve a lot of problems. 5-7 this season could make 8-4 next season.
Yes.
A lot more possible as well. When we come back, our final segment, we take a look ahead to Illinois. That'll be the final home game of the 2025 season. And we give out helmet stickers here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
This thing, shall we? It is the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show, brewed by Coors Light alongside Riley Yauch. I am Corey Sparks here at Pooley's in Madison. Awesome venue, awesome watch party spot. Great spot for food, too. The Phillies hitting pretty good. Did you get a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, I got a chicken sandwich. Oh, pretty
nice
solid. Pretty solid.
Respect. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Both got a side of fries as well. All right, so we're going to do a quick look ahead. We'll also do helmet stickers. And actually, we can flip that order here, since usually we'll wrap up with the look ahead against Illinois, which we still don't know the start time for. Hopefully we get some, speaking of clarity on that coming up here for the benefit of both teams, so they know when they can show up, start warming up, and doing all that good stuff. But first, it is time for helmet stickers.
Let's see who earned it.
Jack Cinchy doing it all on this drive for the Badger D.
Melvin Gordon inside the 20. Uses the stiff arm. Is he in? It's a Wisconsin touchdown.
Going deep. Down the left sideline. Man's there and got it. In stride. And it's Vinny Anthony. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Time to give out some helmet stickers on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
All right, Riley. I'll let you start us off here. There are probably a few to give out. I know no moral victories, but this team's stuck with Indiana a lot better than most other teams have. One to be Illinois, who Wisconsin will see next week. Illinois lost to Indiana 63-10 earlier this year when they were both ranked.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give out two helmet stickers actually today. One to Lance Mason on the offensive side of the ball. He had the one catch for 45 yards, but it was an awesome catch to say the least, right? On the edge of the fingertips, beautiful play action pass. Got the Badgers' only touchdown of the game. Absolutely love to see that. That was really fun. A great moment. We were jumping out of our chairs.
That was so fun.
We were fired up. Yeah. It was beautiful to see. Beautiful play call, beautiful execution. He also had one run on a little, like, jet sweep motion action, which was fun.
He's been a
for
good tool
7 yards. He missed a block, which I remember. I forgot exactly which play it was. But that was rough. But outside of that, he played a very good game, and he has been a very reliable target for both Hunter Simmons and Carter Smith now in his first couple of games. So I really like what Lance Mason has done on the offensive side of the ball, putting together a nice senior season. And finally, Deani Hill. We gave him a little bit of love last week. I think it was Joe and Madison shouted him out. And this week, he put on an encore performance on the defense. He was right behind Mason Post in tackles with 9, and he was just flying all over the field. Deani Hill, again, another senior transfer from Miami who unfortunately will leave after this season. But it is still nice to see. Like, you talk about motivation. These guys have definitely not quit. They are playing their asses off. They are fired up. And even when they run out of gas today, like, they're still putting their all out there. And it's nice to see the elder statesmen do that as well, along with the young guns. So Deani Hill, Lance Mason, a couple of seniors get my helmet stickers today.
So guys like Hill and Mason, obviously they're veterans here in college football and on this team. Those freshmen who aren't the Mason Poses and Cooper Catalanos of the world, who aren't getting playing time yet, who are in those positions, whether it be a tight end or a DB, those are guys they're looking up to. So, I mean, you talk about, no, Hill's not going to be on this team after a month from now, but that might leave a lasting impact on a freshman who's going to get playing time next year, who will be a sophomore, or if they redshirt him, right? So, yeah, I think you have having veteran guys who their time here is going to be done pretty soon, which is very sad, but they're going to leave a lasting impact on someone else who's going to step up, take their spot, and hopefully do it even better. My one helmet sticker will be Darryl Peterson, 2.5 sacks, part of a defensive line that got home pretty often. 5 sacks on Fernando Mendoza. I know there were certain aspects of this game, mainly the third quarter, that we weren't very happy about.
Yes.
But getting home 5 times on arguably the most dynamic quarterback in football right now, that's a win. Mm-hmm. That's a huge win.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. Darryl Peterson was all over the place. And this defense, despite the scoreboard, I think is a little deceiving. They were
it
set
is.
Up with 2 short fields in the second half. 2 touchdown drives were under 50 yards. One was 28, one I think was 48 along those lines. Like, they still played them tough. Like, this defense still put on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
And they have shown, like, this team's identity is on the defense. They were thudding. They were hitting. They were matching Indiana's intensity. And I think this defense can play and handle anyone in the country, which is a really, really positive sign.
Absolutely. Final thoughts, Mr. Yauch, before this team gears up for not only their second-to-last game of the season, but their final home game of 2025 against Illinois.
This season flew by, which is sad. I love me some Badgers football, and it sucks that we only got 2 weeks left of it. Ugh, I'm sad. Before I get to my final thoughts, quick, Roger in the ESPN Madison YouTube chat threw out a quick couple of questions. Why do we let Bostad, the O-line coach, go? Man, I wish I knew. That was a Luke Fickell decision, another bad decision. When he came in to Wisconsin, didn't know him, I guess, and he decided to go to Indiana. He's been there since 2023, since Fickell got here.
Yeah.
He left after Jim Leonard left. That was a mistake. I really wish he was still here. We heard Brad Norman on the pregame show say great things about him. We've heard Derek Engler and Tarek Sala and Barry Alvarez on the Barry Alvarez show every Monday say great things about him. He is a very good offensive line coach, and he is taking some of the best offensive linemen in the state of Wisconsin, which is a problem. However, I do think – and he also, I forget the name of the first offensive line coach that Fickell had, which was a bust and a half. I forget his name, but the new one who is currently installed right now has been significantly better. And I think with all the young guys, all the redshirt freshmen on this team, on that offensive line right now, there's 3 of them to be exact. Bring back Kevin Haywood next year. I think they're going to be a much more cohesive, a much better unit, and I like where our offensive line is heading moving forward. But just wanted to address that. He's tired of hearing about 4 and 5 stars. Indiana's doing this with 3 stars. Yeah.
It is about being able to coach these guys up, too.
And that's coaching. But then you also have Cooper Catalano's a 3-star, and he has been playing out of his mind.
Yep.
So it's possible. But, yes, Indiana – Coach Cignetti is doing a way better job than Luke Fickell is right now. And I think that's an objective truth. So we're not going to brush that aside. But my final thoughts on Wisconsin's 31-7 loss to Indiana. This was an unfortunate but expected snapback to reality for the Badgers. We were riding the high last week against Washington and then had a first half. We were even riding that high throughout the whole first half. And then the third quarter rolled around, and it's like, yep, this is still Indiana. They are 11-0 now for a reason. The young guys showed a lot of growth today. The defense battled constantly. They kept them in this ball game for a very long time, much longer than most teams would be in this game with that kind of offensive output. Grimes, I think, called a very good game for what he was handed, the cards he was dealt, I believe the phrase you used earlier, getting the Tuca going down. Was brutal. The third quarter sucked. They gave the number two team in the country a scare. We've now seen three solid football games in a row, maybe minus that third quarter. Given these circumstances, that is so commendable and gives me a lot of optimism for these next two games against Illinois and Minnesota. Illinois is a solid team. They've had horrible losses to the best in the conference, but they've pretty much beaten everyone else. So Wisconsin has shown last week against Washington they can beat good teams, and they're going to need to do it against Illinois. I think they can. I hope they do. And Minnesota, that is such a gettable game. That is for the Axe. That's going to be a slugfest. I am so excited. Now, had a setback against Indiana. Tough, but there's a lot of positives, a lot of moral victories you can take from today. Now, let's beat Illinois. Let's get the Axe back. Come on now.
Yeah, I love it, Riley, and I think these last two games are going to be where the fruits of your labor really come up.
Yep.
This gauntlet sucked while it was happening. Washington game was a lot of fun. You could gather some positives from the Oregon contest before that.
Yep.
And you can do the same thing with the first half and parts of the fourth quarter. Today, now you use those lessons. I almost just fell off the stool.
That would have been a funny way to end the show.
You use those lessons. You use the true freshmen who have really improved for you to your advantage. You know who you are now, and you go in and you burn through these last two games and go 2-0. I think it's very obtainable. Probable would be a strong word, but I think you can at least steal one of those. And if we're going to make our pick, it's probably the last one, if I had to guess. But like you said, Illinois is in a bit of a free fall. Let's not let the bigger picture get compromised here. They're still a really talented football team. They win one of those games that they were kind of punching up in. They're probably still ranked at this point. But, yeah, they've been beaten up, too. They've also had quite the gauntlet at certain parts of their schedule. But that is next week. We do not know the kickoff time. But when we do, the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day pregame show will start winding down the final 2 hours before kickoff. And then from the final whistle, 2 hours plus after, we will have ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show. And we are brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies. Cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's Crush a Coors Light.
I'm getting eager for it. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our amazing producer back at the Everlight Solar Studios at 100.5 ESPN Madison. That is Owen Dimfel, Riley, thank you. Corey Sparks signing
off. Thank you. It's been fun.
There we go.
Jinx.
Jinx, exactly.
You owe me a soda.
Next week.
A Coors Light.
At home, at Illinois. We will see you then. Thanks so much for joining us today.